This is KVNF Regional News for Tuesday, June 24th. I'm Patricia Naft. The Colburn landslide is far from over. KVNF's Jake Ryan has the story.
Last week, the Colorado Oil and Gas Conservation Commission met with industry members and scientists to look at the current state of the slide. Jonathan White is the senior engineering geologist for the Colorado Geological Survey.
When this earth flow failed, a large kind of mound of disturbed bedrock, part of the cliff, had rotated back and created a large depression behind it. And there's a pond forming back there now. And all the runoff now from up above that used to be West Salt Creek is now flowing into that pond, and nothing is coming out of it.
So this pond has formed way up near the top, and it's being held back by a mound of earth that isn't compact. It's loose and becoming saturated. That's dangerous.
Water adds weight. It also lubricates the material. The pore pressure of water tends to hydraulically lift the sediment, and so it reduces the shear forces, you know, the kind of the natural strength of the material. So water drives instability.
The sheer amount of water that's up there is also troubling.
So yeah, when you look at, you know, anywhere between 15 to 30 CFS, and that, you know what that means, that's cubic feet per second. When you look at that kind of discharge into it over, you know, the succeeding days, we're talking about 1,000 acre feet or more now.
1,000 acre feet. Imagine 100 acres 10 feet deep in water. That's 500 Olympic-sized swimming pools held back by loose soil and debris. White says it'll probably end one of two ways.
It's either going to happen very fast or just fast.
Either the pond will grow so much that it will spill over and cut its way through the wall of dirt, draining rapidly, or the dirt will become so waterlogged that it will turn into mud and give way, like a dam breaking, and the pond will empty almost instantly.
We just simply don't know the strength of that upper mass of landslide material. And it may be very strong, and then that pond could stay there for years. I mean, who knows? It could stay there so long that the pond completely silts in with material and becomes kind of a marshy bench up there. I mean, we don't know.
The whole area is still extremely dangerous. There are multiple sensors on the slide to monitor any movements, and it's been still so far. But that could change at any moment. For KVNF, I'm Jake Ryan.
Colorado's primary election is today, and in many ways it marks the beginning of the political season that will culminate in November. Benta Berklin analyzes two GOP primary races that are being closely watched.
The race in Colorado's 4th Congressional District is surprisingly competitive. When Congressman Cory Gardner unexpectedly decided to run for U.S. Senate, it left the race wide open. The district spans most of eastern Colorado from New Mexico to Wyoming and includes Greeley.
It is one of the most Republican-leaning districts in the United States.
Kyle Saunders is a political science professor at Colorado State University.
It has 80,000 more registered Republicans than Democrats, and that's quite a margin. So whoever wins this primary is going to win the general election.
Right now, it's a four-way contest between Weld County Commissioner Barbara Kirkmeyer, Steve Laffey, a former mayor from Rhode Island, State Senator Scott Renfro, and Weld County District Attorney Ken Buck. There's been no polling on the race, which Saunders says makes it difficult to predict.
Buck should have been the favorite. Buck may continue to be the favorite. Renfro's kind of the horse closing in on him as we approach the finish line. Steve Laffey, I don't know where to put him, although he does have a lot of money, and unfortunately Barbara Kirkmeyer just hasn't really gained much momentum.
Buck was the first to enter the race. He was already running for U.S. Senate, but stepped aside when Gardner opted for a Senate run. And it's not his first major campaign. In 2010, Buck was the Tea Party candidate, challenging Democratic Senator Michael Bennett. He narrowly lost.
If you look at the Republican Party from a few decades ago, none of these would be the favorite of the establishment.
That CSU political science professor John Strayer, he says he thinks Buck is the odds-on favorite.
Given his previous run for Senate, Buck is well-known, better known than any of the others. He's been able to raise money. But the other side of it is, from Renfro's standpoint, I think Renfro is arguably the most conservative of the whole bunch. That's going to appeal to the more hardcore right-leaning elements in the Republican Party. And those are the folks who are the most likely to show up.
Unlike the fourth CD, the gubernatorial primary race won't lead to an almost certain victory in November. Four candidates are vying to unseat Governor John Hickenlooper, something that won't be easy, according to Kyle Saunders.
Whoever does emerge from the Republican primary is going to have a difficult time. Even with the difficulties that Governor Hickenlooper has faced over the last couple of years, the approval ratings have gone down a bit and those sorts of things. It's still going to be Hickenlooper's race to lose.
It's between former Congressman Tom Tancredo and Bob Beaupre, Secretary of State Scott Gessler, and former State Senate Minority Leader Mike Kopp. John Strayer says not all of the candidates have an equal chance in November.
The two most difficult challengers, the toughest challengers for him, would be Tancredo and or Beaupre. They're both pretty well known. They have their backers, the most intense element in the party. That probably favors Tancredo, but Beaupre may have a slightly broader appeal.
Even though Hickenlooper has the advantage, Strayer says it won't be like last election.
4 years ago on the Republican side, it just all fell apart. It almost became a comedy show, and you know, he walked in. I think it'll be a little bit tougher this time.
Midterm elections typically have a lower voter turnout than in presidential years. Saunders says that gives the GOP an edge.
I think one of the potential problems that Hickenlooper might face is that the Democratic side of the electorate is a little less energized.
There's also a question of how statewide anti-fracking ballot questions could impact the gubernatorial race should they move forward. I'm Benta Berkland at the State Capitol.
The Red Hill Recreation Area near Carbondale and the Crown Hill Trails near the base of Mount Sopus are both popular destinations for bikers and hikers and will probably be getting an addition. The BLM just traded some land with a billionaire to improve access to the areas in Garfield and Pitkin County. About 670 acres of land will now be public. The private owner also contributed $1 million to support its long-term development. In return, the owner will receive roughly 1,200 acres to connect his properties. The deal won't be completed until the 45 protest process is resolved. Stay tuned for Chase and the Tuesday Morning Music Mix. For KVNF News, I'm Patricia Naft.